Okay, I'm joined today on Main Menu by Chris Cant, a name which will be very familiar to many. Chris has been around the assistive technology scene for quite some time and is a frequent poster to many an internet mailing list. Hi, Chris. How are you? And perhaps you'd like to introduce yourself.
I'm Chris Cant. I live in the northeast of England. Well, northeast. I'm on East Yorkshire, to be honest with you. That's a place called Hull. That's right on the pinnacle into the North Sea here. But yes, I have been around for quite a number of years on the internet, one way and another, doing tech supporting and things. And I've been around Audio Tips when it first started off, that back in about 4 or 5 years ago, and then they moved on and found a nice slot in For the People with Jennifer at For the People, helping out there occasionally.
When were you first drawn to assistive technology? Have you been blind all your life, Chris?
No, I lost my sight at 10 years of age. And I went to blind schools in Wavertree in Liverpool, and from Wavertree went to Manchester Henshaw School till the early 70s, 1970, then went to Birmingham to train to be an engineer. I actually went from college and had a job in open industry in a car manufacturing plant making steering columns, so I was working as an engineer for 2 years. That all went out the window in 1974 when all the car manufacturers just lost a lot of their jobs. We got made redundant, and then I was 4 years doing farming, helping a friend out on a farm for 4 years. Then I got into the workshop routine here in Hull, which I worked in a sawmill for 12 years as a machine setter, working all the saws, everything that was in the workshop I used to work. We built furniture, offices, stuff for hotels. We did a lot of timber work.
It sounds like you have quite a wide range of skills there, Chris. You're listening to ACB Radio's Main Menu. I'm Dave Williams in conversation with Chris Cant from the UK. Chris, have you been involved with blind people much since your education days, and when did you become aware of the online blind community?
I became more aware of it after I'd left my post at the Sheltered Employment Scheme. Well, I was working with blind people there, you see, and then I left and met myself a business from home. I was doing picture framing from home, so that it was some skills that I picked up from my my actual work in the machine shop there, actually machining things. I thought, well, it's a simple thing to do. And then I began to be involved with computers, with accounting, bookkeeping work and things like that. And I found my computer was never working right. I used to call people in and say how expensive it was. So I started to learn myself.
Computer maintenance can be, certainly when you're calling people out to the house. So you started to teach yourself, and how did you do that? Did you take any formal courses, or how did you proceed at that stage?
Well, I had a good teacher, Mr. Allen Thomas, who's kicking around the internet these days. He's a very good friend of mine, is Alan, and he knew a heck of a lot more than I did about computers, and I used to ring him up during the daytime, and we spoke for quite a long while, for hours at a time, and he'd take me through all these, in those days, I would say, to exec back files, and we used to spend ages doing that, and from one thing led to another, and I gradually learnt more and more myself. And in fact, I show him some things these days now, because he wasn't that internet savvy sort of thing, and now I show him.
So we're talking really the era you're talking about now, obviously the DOS era, the early 90s, late 80s. When did you really start to first make those tentative steps into a graphic user interface?
I would say 95, Dave. Windows 95 was my the best operating system that I came across with that sort of interface. And very surprisingly, I got into that quite easily. Of course, some of the things weren't as adapt as they are now, because they're very, very adaptable now. Everything seemed to be that far behind that one stage that I don't think the screen readers could keep up with all the applications that were coming up.
Very true. So you got to Windows 95, and you started to get access to the internet, and through the internet, find other blind people, is that right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I once saw on one of the email lists, I think it was the JAWS, the Australian JAWS list, where Audio Tips first was mentioned, and I popped in there and spoke with them on there. You know, it is good when you get a lot of people that get to know you. There's loads and loads of people worldwide that know me now, considerably more than there was, say, for instance, in the UK.
For the people and Audio Tips, for those who haven't visited those sites, or online voice portals, community-driven websites, really, I guess. To really cut to the chase, those sites were well and good, and you still are, as I understand it, a big fan of those sites. But you felt that there was a need for something a little bit extra, something new. So what happened next, Chris?
Well, it's for the people, basically. That's what we are. We are for the people, and Jennifer's such a fantastic host of that place, and she encouraged to have a sort of a yearly party over there, and every 2 years. And we was all sort of feeling really that we couldn't really get over there, and to develop things on so that we could actually try and get some money together and get ourselves over there, we developed the TAFN.
Chris, can you tell me, what is the Accessible Friends Network?
Well, the Accessible Friends Network has grown from just collecting money to become a means of getting everybody over to the States. And it's grown since January. So, I mean, we're trying to gather funds together now and develop our own sort of support team. Friends that are UK-based, that are Peach members, that will come to us for support, help, guidance, and just be a great big friendly community where we'll teach each other and we'll learn from each other. And we'll still try and follow our thing of trying to get people over to the Peach Party.
Okay. And the fundraising is to do what exactly? The purpose of the fundraising, it's when you mentioned a party. I mean, we're talking about an offline party here now. We're not talking about a group of people meeting in a chat room. And you mentioned that that the folks from For the People, they'd like to get together every once in a while. Correct me if I'm wrong. Are you saying that you felt that some of the For the People users in the UK felt that they weren't able to participate in these offline events? And so essentially what you've done is to establish a charity in the UK to raise money to send people from the UK to the US to attend these parties. Is that right? Why would the man in the street give you, Chris Count, a donation to send you to a party?
There is that in it. But I mean, yeah, that was the original thought, was to try and do that. And then it's more or less developed into our own concept of along those lines. Of yes, we will do that, but when we can afford it. But we're sort of getting our own concept of what we'd like to do as UK members, and that is develop ideas of teaching online, of actually having accredited things online, because we've got an accredited teacher that's with us that is going to help us along. We're going to teach online.
What sorts of courses and subjects do you intend offering, and how are they different from those that are already on offer?
Well, they are accredited from Central Means, so that means it's a UK type accreditation that we'll be getting. Not sure of all the details on that, because he's more the teacher than I am of all the bits and pieces. So, I mean, Leon is accredited teacher, and he does that now professionally, so he is accredited. But we'll be doing lots of other things, like we have quizzes, we have, you know, games, we have music chats, and, you know, we're hoping to do bits and pieces with a radio station as well of our own, and generally become more SoundForge aware of how to work SoundForge and to use it. We're just going to do loads and loads of different pieces, but we're all looking forward to be able to do, you know.
So obviously we're speaking to you today, as you're one of the people behind the Accessible Friends Network. Was it solely your idea, or who else was involved with the sort of establishing of the website and registering yourselves as a charity?
Yeah, well, we haven't actually got the registration registration yet, but we're about to soon, because you've got to be on there at 12 for a year. You've actually got to be up and running a year and have a turnover of £1,000 now. It's only just changed that you have to have a turnover of £1,000 in a year, and then you can apply for accreditation. And we've just reached that target, I'm pleased to tell everybody. So now we can actually move forward. Yeah, there's Leon Gilbert, our site, who built the web page for us, built the site, the webmaster, Stephen Pallett, the vice chairman, myself, Chris Hunt, and Lisa Smith. All four of us were the beginnings of TAFN.
Right. And you conduct all your business via the internet then? You're all presumably in geographically separate locations?
That's right, yeah. We've got Leon's in London, Lisa's in London, Steve's in Leicestershire, and I'm over in Hull. So there's a fair bit of distance between all of us. And I tell you what, setting it up for the bank, needed plenty of posting stuff to each other, you know. We want to develop and gather together as many beginners in computer terms as possible, because I'm there to support them. I will support them 100%.
You want to encourage people to learn about IT, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Dave. I mean, as many people who haven't got computers, we want to develop something where we can get computers to them, get them online and get active within the internet community, because I think there's a lot of opportunities offered to people once they've got these skills developed within themselves. And not only that, they can find something. Once they've got the tools, they can find something to do.
What would you say to somebody who may suggest, and this is purely hypothetical and I'm possibly playing the devil's advocate here, but what would you say to somebody who said that blind people should stop messing about with computers and get out and get themselves real jobs? What would your reaction to a position like that be? And how can the Accessible Friends Network lend itself to achieving some of the goals that blind people have?
For a start, I'd say show us the jobs. There aren't many jobs about for anybody, let alone people with disabilities. I think you can get yourself a higher grade job if you actually do learn some computer skills, and if you can develop something for yourself. I've been self-employed now, Dave, for 15 years, and I can get up when I want, I can go to bed when I want. That means, of course, I go to bed after 12 and I get up after 6. So I don't mean to say it's a shortcut, but people can develop within themselves ideas of what they'd like to do. And the difference being is you can do all sorts with a PC, whereas you're restricted with a single manual job.
Okay. And is there any cost for somebody wanting to use the Accessible Friends Network?
Well, no, they don't have to be members, but it's nice if they want to be. Our membership fee for the 12 months for a year is £6, so that's basically all that it's going to cost them, and maybe a bit of their time if they want to help us out, because everybody does a bit of helping out and a bit of charity fundraising and bits and pieces like that. Because I don't know. The things we've got in mind and the things that are under discussion at the moment, we're going to need A, some money for, and B, we're going to give people jobs eventually. How's that sound?
That sounds very promising indeed. So would you say that really the site's primary focus is training, or what is the primary purpose? Do you have a mission statement?
Yeah, we do on our about page, and our about page is of being a friend, a friendly community, and being there for anybody, basically. And we have people from all over the place coming in and talk to us. But we're a friend of the UK user group. You see, we just want to do what anybody wants to do, take up their ideas and run with them, you know. So if somebody comes across with an idea that they'd like to do such and such a thing, then we'll develop that and work along those lines and do it. Like games, we've got games that go on, and, you know, anything that they may want to do. And basically, most of the time, it's there because we're just friends, UK friends, you know, our friendly society.
Right. What is it that the Accessible Friends Network could potentially provide that say an organisation like the RNIB don't?
Well, having not been aware of all the stuff that goes on the RNIB, I don't know. It's things that are not accessible, or you don't know that are accessible, that we're going to show that are accessible for us. Most of the RNIB stuff, you've got to really find and dig and find out what happens. With us, you just ask us, you know. I suppose with us being online and being, I don't know, a talking community, is that the word gets around what you do and what, and I suppose the RNIB do offer quite a range of things, but they at least they know that online training is immediate to them and tech support is immediate to them, because I'm always sat in there.
You're listening to Main Menu from ACB Radio. I'm Dave Williams in conversation with Chris Cant. We're talking about the Accessible Friends Network. Chris, ACB Radio is heard around the world on the internet. Does the Accessible Friends Network, obviously being a fairly UK-centric site, do you think it holds any interest for people from overseas?
Yeah, we do have people come in from overseas, yeah. There's our American friends come over, our New Zealand friends come over, our Australian friends come over, so we don't just base it as you're not welcome because it's only a UK group. It's a yeah, welcome to come in. You might not get involved in the nitty-gritty side of it, but you're welcome to come in and chat with us.
Okay, so you've mentioned training, and obviously it's a chat site as well. Is there anything else people can find on the website?
Yeah, there's a really useful page there full of the radio links. There's a radio guide. There's which you don't have to, you know, find. It's another link that you have to click to actually get the thing playing. These are immediate play links, so I think Leon's done an excellent job on the page itself, both for partially sighted and blind users. There's just so much to have a look at. There's stories of interest. There's a cooking guide that one of our members has written. That's Sue Pallett, Steve's good lady. And there's going to be a gardening section and all sorts that are in the development stage, but the cooking guide and all things like that, let's say thank you to Sue for.
Would you say that compared to, because there are other community sites in the UK aimed at blind people. One that springs to mind is Blind Kids, which provides a fairly satirical perspective on blindness. Would you say that your site's probably a little bit more family oriented?
Does it have to be a family site? Yes, it is a family place, Dave, really, and you don't have to be over 21 to come and visit us. We know when to behave when people come in that are not. That are a lot younger, you know, so no problem with that.
And where do you see the site and the project going in the future? What's your vision for the Accessible Friends Network in 12 months' time?
Well, to have some of these certificates on the way to people, hopefully, you know, for taking courses with us, to have more tech support available, sort of at the touch of a button, there's tech support available for anybody. Really, it's got to be what they want it to be, and that's the whole thing about it, Dave, is that no one of us is really saying you've got to do this or you've got to do the other. We're always open to ideas, and that's what's nice, there's some good ideas coming up.
In the US, much more so than in the UK, there's a huge distinction between bodies who are service providers run primarily by sighted people and then consumer movements of blind people. Do you see something like the Accessible Friends Network being the genesis of a consumer movement?
Well, you never know, Dave, and let's hope so. I mean, for a start, you've just got to move with people who like, you know, who want to do this type of thing. You've got to move and make some sort of splash in the water. Anyway, we're gathering up people from all over the place that just like a friendly chat, like friendly tech support. Sometimes you don't even get friendly tech support. Sometimes you can get very snotty tech support. And we've based ourselves on being friends, and there's just loads of people that are coming to us with friendly stories and being just generally friends. I've never found anybody that's come onto our site and been really nasty. We've only had friendly people, and we like it that way too.
The technology which powers the site is, of course, Ventrilo. That's the technology which provides the voice over IP capabilities of the site.
Yeah, well, it was Ventrilo that first hit our, took our notice, and that we could up the quality and control what we wanted to do within it, because we had our own server at one time. So that made a difference, is we knew how the server would act and react in different situations. We went for a California based server because of price, and at this moment the UK pound buys a lot more abroad than it does over here.
Mm. The quality issue. Are you aimed primarily at broadband users, or can people with modems access the service?
Yeah, they can, Dave. We're on 11 kilohertz, so that's the medium range. If we upped it to 2250, then it would be a little bit harder for them, because it would break up quite a bit. Yeah, they can get in with modems, no problem. A number of people do.
Okay, Chris, is there anything I haven't asked you that really you'd like to add? Anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, if they want to come to www.tafn.org.uk and click on the link, if they have Ventrilo, they can download the latest version of Ventrilo, because we run ours from one of the new servers over in California. It's a 50 room server, and it's always up and running. That's why we were going to run it on one PC, but our option to actually run it on a server was obviously better for us, and it's always open 24 hours a day. So anybody wants to pop in there, you click on, you can download the Ventrilo client, pop your name into the Ventrilo thing and open when you open it, and then from there, and then just close it, come back to the link and click on to visit our rooms, come in there, and you're logged in.
Excellent. So would you say to somebody listening to this who, you know, they're thinking, oh, another website on main menu, whoopee-doo, you know, what would you say to somebody listening to this? Why should they come and visit you? Why is the Accessible Friends Network distinctive? What makes it special?
I'm there.
Well, there you go. There's a reason, Chris. And other than your presence, are there any other reasons?
Yeah, because they're a hell of a friendly bunch in there, Dave. They're a hell of a friendly bunch, and we basically know each other from for the people as well. So we join the gang over there as well on for the people, and we're one big happy family. And it's really nice to know that the people that we're talking on there, and we're getting new members all the time that are joining the peeps from the UK as well. So it's nice to meet them and to gather them up and to show them that we're available over in the UK as well. So we're gathering members that way as well, and a real friendly bunch they are too.
Excellent. Well, Chris, thank you very, very much for your time, and do keep us posted about developments at the Accessible Friends Network, and we'll perhaps have you on again at some point and keep tabs on you all and sit and see how the site's developing. Would you like to give the website out address out again, and maybe an email contact address?
Yeah, sure. The website is www.tafn. Just remember, if you read Braille, it's this afternoon in Braille, tafn.org.uk. And of course, there's myself. You can contact by email at chris@tafn.org.uk. So if anybody wants to contact me, do so by all means. I'd be really, really willing to help you anytime I can.
Chris Kent, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.